Councilman Shirley, would you give the invocation, please?
Yes, sir. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you bestowed on our community, and we pray today for your guidance, that our decisions will be for the good of our community. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number one on the agenda is approval of the agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion to approve. And a second, if no more discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you all for joining us today. Before we get started, we feel like we should briefly update everyone with the situation and how this special council meeting will take place. On December 2nd, our Planning and Zoning Commission denied, in a 3-2 vote, three requests made by Comac LLC. All three requests were related to the proposed La Herta Townhomes development, which, if approved, would be located at the southeast corner of the intersection of East Cherry Lane and North Canal Street. Comac has since exercised its legal right to appeal the Commission's decision to City Council. Per our municipal rules, it will take a 6-2 vote by council to override each denial by the Planning and Zoning Commission for the first two items and majority vote for the third. Tonight, we will be introducing the three items on the agenda individually. We will first ask Mr. Jeff Patterson, our Planning, Engineering, and Regulation Director, to provide an overview of the situation. We will then invite Comac to address council, followed by anyone who wishes to speak in support of Comac's proposal. To try and give everyone an opportunity to speak, we would ask for Comac to keep responses to under 10 minutes and other speakers in support to limit their comments to 2 minutes. We will then take comments by those who are in opposition to Comac's proposal. We would first invite the opposition spokesperson to speak. As this individual is representing a group of people, we invite them to keep their comments to under 10 minutes together. We will then take comments from other individuals opposed to Comac's proposal and ask that these comments also be kept around 2 minutes. Mr. Hernandez, if you would please keep track of the time and let people know when their time is up. We also ask for everyone to attempt to focus comments on viewpoints or issues which have not previously been addressed. Our city councilors may choose to ask questions throughout this evening. We appreciate everyone's participation and willingness to engage in this important democratic process. Item 2 on the agenda will be to consider approval of appeal of the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny approval of a request for a variance to reduce the minimum lot size from 6,000 square feet to a minimum of 1,967 square feet for the La Herta Townhomes development located at the southeast corner of the intersection of East Cherry Lane and North Canal Street, zoned R1, Residential 1 District, Appellant, Comac, LLC. And I'd ask Mr. Patterson if he would please begin this discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this item is the appeal of the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny a variance request from the appellant, Comac, LLC, to reduce the minimum lot size from 6,000 square feet to approximately 1,967 square feet for lots created in R1 Residential 1 District. At the December 2nd, 2019 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, the appellant, Comac LLC, presented their request for a variance to reduce their minimum lot size to the Planning and Zoning Commission. The developers are proposing a townhome development and plan to split the properties among the common walls of each townhome installed. Doing this will result in smaller lots created than is allowed for R1 zoning in the city of Carlsbad. The proposed townhome lots vary in size from approximately 6,200 square feet to 1,967 square feet in size, depending on the location of the lot within the development. Many residents within the vicinity of this project were present at that meeting to speak against this item. Among the complaints voiced at the meeting were the fact that the developer's request for a variance did not meet all of the required criteria for granting a variance found in Section 56-150K of the zoning ordinance. Those criteria are listed in your ABMs for you to review. The residents also voiced concerns over the increased density of the development that would be allowed if the variance was approved, stating that the density of the proposed development would be drastically out of character for the area. Also voiced were concerns over increased traffic resulting from this development, as well as the opinion that the townhomes would be out of character for the area where single-family homes are the predominant type of residential structure. Members of the community were present that also supported the development and the request for the variance, stating the overwhelming need for additional housing in Carlsbad, additional affordable housing, and growth overall. Upon hearing the arguments and statements, the Planning and Zoning Commission considered this request and voted to deny the request with a vote of 3 in favor of denial, 2 in favor of approval, and none absent. The appellant then chose to appeal the decision of the Planning and Zoning Commission to the City Council. The appellant submitted an appeal letter to the Planning Director's office and stated within that letter that, in their opinion, the request for this variance is necessary to carry forward the proposed development, and this development is in line with the spirit and purpose of the zoning ordinance. Before you tonight is that appeal. As the mayor stated, to overturn Planning and Zoning Commission's decision would take a supermajority of the body, 6 in favor to overturn and 2 or 2 against. And I'll take any questions that you might
have. Questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Now, the spokesman for COMAC.
Set this to the sides. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, and Mike, I'll go ahead and start my watch here so we don't go too far over as well.
I've got it.
I mean, good deal. We appreciate everybody coming for a special commission meeting this afternoon at 4 o'clock. I understand that we've got to get out of here because there may be some Star Wars movies that are playing tonight. So I'm sure that maybe we have a few participants that we've got to get out of here. But nonetheless, we appreciate everybody taking time out of their busy schedules and hearing us out. I do have to say that I see all the support I see all the opposition for this project here. And I do empathize with each and every one of the people here. I live 3 doors down, and I know exactly how my life is going to change if this goes in. But I've got to remember about all the other people whose lives is going to change for the positive if it goes in as well. Now, when we look at this subdivision, you guys each have a packet that I left you up there in your deal, and you see the first page is the. The first page is a rendering of how the townhomes will look. And the second page, we start with the planning and zoning recommendations. Planning and zoning staff, and this was included in our appeal after it was denied, and it says, after the meeting with multiple city departments, planning staff recommends approval. Public work recommends approval. Utilities recommends approval. Fire department recommends approval. Legal department recommends approval, and planning department recommends approval. So after we got that, we thought, well, we're just trying to do what we've been asked and what we've seen the need for in the community. We also pulled up on the city website Yeah. We also pulled up on the city website a map, and this map is the new map. This is the new master plan map, the updated master plan. And right here is the subject property. Now, Mr. Patterson, I'll be after Patterson that question. Mr. Patterson, can you tell us who had input in creating this map here?
Input came from the community at large, from city staff, from stakeholders in the community, and community leaders.
Thank you. So, in this map here, we have down here as well in orange, high density residential. The updated master plan calls for this property, here it is, Cherry and Canal, calls for this property to actually be high density residential. And so we've set forward to, I guess I'm going to talk to the microphone here, but we've set forward to say, okay, we've got our high density residential here, and this is a need in the community. So we're just trying to do what we've been told to do. If we continue on our list in the efforts of time, I'm not going to put up all the other bullet points except for the rendering of the townhomes here for you to look at during the meeting. The other ones are included in your packet there. So we'll get through our 10-minute deal. If you go to the second page on there, we have what I've created. This is a Carlsbad density map. You see in blue in the center, it's proposed townhome subdivision, and the density is 10 units per acre. And that is, again, on the same property that the city map called for high density residential. Well, if you look at Copperstone Apartments, about a little over a half a mile away, 16 units per acre. Pecos Vista is roughly 6/10 of a mile away and at 17 units per acre. We've got Riverwood Apartments, 3/10 of a mile away. Cielo Vista Apartments, just a little less than half a mile away, and those are 19 units per acre. And then we have Riverbend Community, which is about a half a mile away, and that's 10 units per acre. What's interesting is the Riverbend Community is almost an identical community to ours, and the variances that were approved heretofore apply directly to that property. And it's almost exactly the same with decreased setbacks, with shared walls, and smaller lot sizes. They're divided out, and they're actually building more of them right now. But that was done about 15 years ago, and the city did approve those. You'll hear in a little while that they have case law saying that a variance of this kind doesn't work. That you need to. That the case law cites, it needs to be, the variances need to be granted on a per lot basis. But that's simply not true, and that's not historically how it's been done in Carlsbad. We go to the next page. We're going to talk a little bit about teachers. If we've got time, yeah, Trent, put those up. So the teachers, in speaking to Carlsbad Public Schools, we've got some pretty serious issues there that surprised me. We've got 5 full-time substitutes. That means unqualified teachers. Now, they're qualified substitutes, but five unqualified teachers are teaching classes every day. We've got 25 international teachers, and that means they're temporary. They're brought in to fill a void. We've got 67% of the high school of students at the high school with at least one failing grade, and we've got 80 classes per day, or 20% of all classrooms, that do not have a teacher. Now, that means they have to go and find a substitute for that, but the sub list is so short that they cannot find a sublet, that they most of the time cannot fill those classes. And to quote Carlsbad Municipal Schools, those students are either put into another classroom or, quote-unquote, watch a lot of Discovery Channel. So we have Dr. Washburn. He said that one of the greatest needs of the school district is affordable housing. Average teacher pay is $50,000, give or take. We'll flip to police and fire as I try to condense my remarks here. Police and fire, starting salary, $56,000 to $66,000. We've got 7 police and fire vacancies. We've got 6 firefighters that live in Roswell. We've got 2 firefighters that live in Lubbock. The city council here just approved to extend the driving radius for the police officers 80 miles to be able to track more officers. We currently have 8 officers that are mounted up on top of each other in homes trying to be able to afford rent. And this is not just a case for government or any emergency services. It's a case for pretty much every business in town. And what happened, we all know what happens when you work outside of the place you live is when you get your paycheck, you take that home with you, and there's disposable income that does not come back to the community. The argument's also been made that these homes are not affordable, so we do have some hard data on that. $200,000 is about what they're going to cost, between $180, my rough math, at $165 a square foot. I'm not real sure where they're going to appraise, but between $180,000 and $214,000 is my math. So that's about a $200,000 average. We got $10,000 down payment. Amount financed would be $190,000. We end up with an interest rate about 4.5. Monthly mortgage is $962. Homeowners insurance, property taxes, and total monthly is just a tick under $1,200. According to Consumer Advocate, monthly mortgage insurance and property taxes should not should be around 2.4% of your annual income, which $50,000, 2.4% is around $1,200. If we are buying a $400,000 home, that's about $2,300 a month in expenses. According to the CDOD, we have an average apartment price in Carlsbad of $1,400 to $1,900 per month. Next year in Carlsbad, luckily, we have about 1,000 homes coming on the market, which are desperately needed. The problem is those homes are between $350,000 and $450,000. So that means we have a need of about $2,300 a month worth of disposable income. And unfortunately for teachers, fire services, and a lot of other members of the community, $2,300 a month is just not attainable. And if we want to get into a little bit of Dave Ramsey, even Dave Ramsey says 25 to 35% of your yearly income should be spent on housing. We know all how conservative he is. So if we want to move from our small town politics and do the best for the greater good of the community, I urge the council to please vote for these variances. Thank you.
My name's Trent Cornham, guys. For the sake of time, unless I can get a variance for a little bit more. Guys, we've looked everywhere. I've literally talked to every realtor. Some are in this room, and we said, if not here, where? That is one thing we started a year and a half ago. That is something that's been very important to Stephen and I as we've been looking. And there's major things. We got to have utilities. We have to have power. We have to have sewer. This property fits that need. I have been contacted one time of a possible one other property that did not fit the bill in order to make this work. So I just urge the council, and there's a lot more I'd like to say. I just urge the council to keep in mind, if not here, where? As of right now, we have zero options for one, affordable townhomes. Okay, I've got a list here that I was going to read, but I won't. Since 2015, the current Argus has put out 12 different titles here about the shortage of housing. We'd like to do something about that with you guys. We know there's a need for it. The city council, it's as you can see, and some of the developers, it's been part of their idea. We'd like to help out with that need. We live here. Our kids go to school here. We are in the community. And I just thank you for your time, and maybe I could say more later.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else for the development? Will you state your name for the record, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is John Waters. I am the executive director for the Carlsbad Department of Development. And I'm here to speak for the Carlsbad Department of Development. It is something that has, for those that have been attending our meetings, it's been a regular topic on a regular basis for over 10 years now. So I'm going to talk a little bit of history, if the mayor and members of the council will let me, to go over the last 12 since I've been here to talk about the needs that we have in our community and what we run into on a daily basis. We are your economic development wing. We're contracted to bring businesses in. We're contracted to bring suggested items in. Companies want other companies to help their companies do better. We have industry. We have retail. We have restaurant. We go after all kinds of different businesses. Many of you know, you read our reports. We hit all the major industries. We even hit some that are new from time to time when they come in. Every single one of them have come to the same signpost that we come to every day. If we have a business here, we need housing. Where are people going to live? Sure, we can bring them in. Where are we going to put them? My people aren't going to live in RVs. We hear it from the potash industry. We hear it from the oil industry. We hear it from the tourism industry. All of those members are members of the 115 some odd member Department of Development. We hear it from the city, we hear it from the county. So obviously we're here to support this type of housing. And by this type of housing, it's been stated, this is the type of housing that is workforce housing. This is the type of housing that if kids go off to college and they come back, this is where they're going to live. I happen to have one who has a degree. She came back from college. Guess where she's living? She's living with mom and dad. She can't find another place anywhere. We've looked. We've looked all over town. $1,400 to get a small apartment complex if we can get the 100.
2 minutes has expired.
Oh, 2 minutes. Well, can I speak on behalf of the Department of Development, Mr. Mayor?
One more 2 minutes.
Okay. So for the for these past 10 years, this has been the top issue. The 2009 study said it, that you guys paid for and approved, or your predecessors did. In 2015, the same story came up. Except, yeah, we've got a few more homes in the $300,000 range. Guess what that means? The greater need is the workforce housing. It continues to come back. I don't care if it's restaurants. I don't care if it's oil and gas. They continue to tell us that Carlsbad needs housing for their people that they bring in. I urge you to consider approval of this because it is truly needed across the board. I know it's a hard decision, and I really appreciate the fact that you volunteered your time or that you collect those very large paychecks to be city councilors, because this is that time that you're really truly improving the community for years to come. The decisions that you make today are going to reverberate throughout the industry, throughout the economy, for the next 10 to 15 years. So I would, again, urge you to approve this and the other items that are coming up on the agenda. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. For the development, you state your name for the record, please.
My name is Alan Davis, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. I appreciate the opportunity to speak in favor of this proposal. I've been in the community over 3.5 years in a previous role, associated with the oil and gas industry, and was asked by the mayor to participate on the Blue Ribbon Housing Committee. And so for about 18 months, we met and talked and looked at needs and opportunities. And again, one of the key elements was affordable housing to help those that were coming into the community or wanted to come into the community have a place to go. And as Comac pointed out, I happened to pull the same map out of the recently published master plan, and that's what we've talked about, you know, opportunity. So this is really an opportunity for the city to walk the talk, right? The city said we need this. Community members have said we need this. This is your opportunity to do that, right? To do what you said the city needs. And now I'm with the county. The county has need, same officers, detention officers, workforce. It's really important to have this opportunity. And I think this development meets that need in multiple ways. I think the product will be what the community wants in terms of its aesthetics and how it works. As Comac noted, there are multiple facilities within less than a mile that have higher density than what this proposal is. And so when you take those things into consideration and what the city has said it needs and wants, here's the opportunity to now walk the talk. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for the development? Yes, sir. You state your name for the record, please.
Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Michael Zant. I just think it's important for council members to recognize the support that they've received from the city itself. Mr. Patterson, I know he's already spoke, but we've seen documentation from the planning director for the city of Carlsbad, stating that they approve. Obviously, Mr. McCutcheon read through several other, including fire and other areas of the city administration that approved the zoning. I think we've heard from the director of the Department of Development. I think that's key. The County Detention Center Facility Warden on the appeal, Mr. McCutcheon laid out their support for this. We also have heard from the mayor's housing committee in the November planning and zoning meeting that more building on less land should keep prices down. The proposal made by COMAC LLC is in line with the Carlsbad City Code. Chapter 56 of the code lays out that the design of zoning in the city of Carlsbad is to create orderly, harmonious, and economically sound development. The development that's being proposed is in line with other developments in the area and is also in line with other parts of the city code to encourage more efficient use of the land, reduce sprawling development, and to encourage the development or redevelopment of lots within the city to support efficient use of the land. I think that the proposal is an efficient use of this land. It's obviously a necessity. We've heard from the Department of Development of the needs within the community and to assist with the growth that's, you know, happening in Eddy County. It's a necessity to have the housing, and I think it was key to hear from COMAC's representatives that if it's not here, then where? And this seems like a prime location. It's a good location that would assist in development, not only for oil and gas housing, which, you know, is obviously problematic in the La Jirta area, but for the necessities that are needed with the city and with the schools, which are vital for growth long term and long term success for the community and its members.
Time has expired.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else for the development? If not, then we move to the. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I was standing in the back. Mr. Mayor, Commission, Council, I'm Jason Burns. I'm the Public Works Director for Eddy County, as well as a small business owner and entrepreneur within the city of Carlsbad. And I'd like to speak my support for this project today. I'm not up here to support Stephen or Trent personally, but the project. This is something that we've talked about within the county, within the city, for a long time now. And, you know, we finally have someone with a good plan, with a good project that's ready to move forward. And that's something you don't see very often anymore, that someone that's actually ready to put a shovel in the dirt and a hammer to a nail and actually do something progressive for the city. And that's what we have here today, and I'd really like to think that we should support this within Carlsbad, the city, and as well as the county, because as of right now, we're having to ship people outside of the city to live so that they can come to the county and work. And I can speak for that with the county and our workforce that we're bringing in, and we're continuing to grow, and we're having problems trying to find places for them to house. And this is something we need to support. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for the development? If not, we'll move to the opponent spokesperson. And you state your name for the record.
Leroy Bostic. It didn't seem like we didn't get to the all the way through the ABM, but there is some criteria on there that you guys need to look at. So can I distribute that?
Yes.
You guys don't vote, right?
Nope.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, that criteria I just handed you is the criteria out of the zoning order. And for those that you don't know, I'm a kind of a fact type of process guy. So I like to stick to the facts, and I like to follow the regulations, okay? I appreciate all the statistics. That's all very great, and believe me, I understand the need of housing for Carlsbad. But I would like to go over this criteria with you, and just to make sure you understand where we're coming from our perspective. This criteria, by the way, is out of the zoning order, and it's four determinations that you should use as councilman to determine whether to uphold the decision or overturn the decision of the P&Z. That's it. Okay, just this four criteria, all right? Criteria A is the decision maker made an error in reviewing whether a standard was met by misreading of the facts, plans, regulations, or an error in judgment. The decision maker in this case was the Planning and Zoning Commission. An error was not made in reviewing the standard. There are eight criteria that must be met to grant a variance. I think those were listed in your ABM. Hang on a minute, I lost my place here. The P&Z provided The P&Z was provided evidence from the people that opposed the variance that all the criteria was not met, so the P&Z decided to overturn or to deny the variance. The Planning and Zoning Commission did not misread the facts, plans, or regulations. The planning and zoning members appeared to be well-versed as far as the variance request was concerned. In fact, a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission asked, there's a 25-foot setback that the city wants, do you guys want to put that in there? And they said yes, so it was very clear they knew what they were talking about when they were reading the plans and the facts. The Planning and Zoning Commission did not make an error in judgment. An error in judgment typically occurs when an individual makes a decision either in haste or without having all the information. In this case, the Planning and Zoning Commission had two opportunities, November 4th and December the 2nd, to review the variance request, listen to public testimony, and ask questions. The P&Z decision was not made in haste, and they had ample opportunity to gather the facts. And B, where conflicting evidence exists, the appeal is limited to determining what evidence or testimony bears the greatest credibility. I trust that you reviewed the minutes from the planning and zoning meetings, especially the meetings from the December 2nd meeting. The testimony very clearly indicates that no conflicting evidence existed. The applicants and those speaking in favor simply want more housing. Okay. Comments from the public are consistently opposed. Identified lack of evidence to support the required criteria, and addresses a number of negative issues the variance could cause. C, the decision maker made the decision on standards not contained in this or any other city ordinance or regulation, or applied more strictly or broadly than is appropriate to implement the city's comprehensive plan or the zoning ordinance. Decision made by the P&Z was on the standards required by the zoning ordinance. The decision did not apply any stricter or broader standards than allowed by the comprehensive plan or the zoning ordinance. The current R1 zoning is in line with the comprehensive plan. The standards in the zoning ordinance are very clear and precise, and the P&Z followed those standards. These variances are so broad as to render the zoning meaningless. To approve the variances simply would have said the city and the decision maker have no standards. Okay. D, this is a very special one to me. This D is a hardship exists that is due to the unique shape, topography, or significant variation from surrounding lots. The hardship shall neither be simply pecuniary nor a result of the action or lack thereof taken by the applicant. The applicants requested to note the hardship on the Board of Appeals application submitted to the P&Z. There was no hardship noted. For the land having any kind of unique shape, any issues with topography, or a significant variation from the surrounding lots. In fact, there hasn't been a hardship noted by the applicant during this entire process. Okay? I requested information from the city that indicated any type of hardship. I was provided none. I believe that people are mixing apples and oranges when it comes to this hardship question. I've heard multiple times from the applicants and other members of the community that Carlsbad needs more homes. The applicants have even stated that they were asked by the city to do this project. The claims of needing more homes is a hardship for the city of Carlsbad and not a hardship in relation to this variance request. Okay. The hardship questioning in the zoning ordinance relates to the land. Is there a unique shape? Okay. Is there are lots that because of lot lines can't meet the minimum size, for an example. Is there in the topography, is there such a large area of rock that it can't be developed? Or is the land too steep? Okay, that's a topography issue. All the lots in this area are zoned R1, 6,000 square feet minimum, and the request is to reduce them down to 1967. As you can see, there are no hardships that support this variance request. The applicants are attempting to use housing needs as a hardship, which in no way applies to this variance. The applicants took the action on their own to develop plans that would not comply with the current zoning. The applicants were asked by P&Z if their development plans would work with R2. The applicants responded they had to have this variance to make it work. If you look at those four determinations we just discussed, the first three are meant to determine if the P&Z decision was fair and just and in accordance with the zoning ordinance. The fourth determination is interesting because, and that's what's intended to confirm the hardship noted by the applicant. Why is the hardship question asked in both the P&Z and again in this appeal determination? The hardship question is the only question that is not subjective and must be substantiated with evidence. Okay. The criteria I just discussed is all that should be considered by this council to determine if the appeal should be approved or denied. But it has become very obvious to me that over the last few weeks that the criteria cited in the zoning ordinance and that is required to be met a variance request and appeal process is considered a suggestion rather than a requirement. My understanding of how this variance appeal process works is apparently flawed. Section 58.8 states, the burden of proof shall rest with the applicant in all proceedings required by this code. Based on the code requirements, I assume the burden of proof would be on the applicants to provide evidence that supports the criteria. My assumption was wrong. I've attended two P&Z meetings and now this appeal meeting, and the applicants have yet to supply the evidence that supports the required criteria. I've attended two P&Z meetings and now this appeal meeting, and the members of the commission or the council have yet to ask the applicants to supply any evidence that supports the required criteria. The only evidence that's been provided is by those people that have spoken in opposition. And the evidence clearly provides the basis that the variance or appeal should not be granted. How difficult is it to request applicants to provide required criteria, required evidence? So again, I ask the question, is the criteria required by the zoning ordinance a suggestion or a requirement? I have a concern over the statement made by Mr. Cornum in the December 2nd P&Z meeting. Based on the minutes, Mr. Corman stated, the city came to them with the need for this project. I first disregarded this statement as more rhetoric for housing. Then the more I thought about it, about the events of the last couple of weeks, I'm questioning my conclusion. I generally use the word city to refer to the personnel who govern, work, provide services, and guidance on matters pertaining to the city. The statement made by Mr. Cornum appears to be more direct. Is the city, and this is a question, is the city an individual, a committee, a staff member, a security guard at the city hall? Who is the city? I'd like to know. Who is the city? There are several issues that appear to be supporting Mr. Cornum's claim. The rush to call a meeting to consider a variance appeal seems to be out of the ordinary. The planning department recommended to overturn the P&Z decision. Now that you have one department questioning the decisions of another. The planning department requested people opposed to the variance to distribute notices because the planning department didn't have time to put them in the mail. The lack of questioning by the committee on evidence to support the variance is required by the code. I've heard many times through discussions regarding this variance that Carlsbad needs more housing, more affordable housing to do what's right for Carlsbad. I've always stated that I understand that need. I get the sense that this administration is so desperate to provide housing, they are willing to compromise the very processes that have been put in place for these uncontrolled activities. Decisions made out of desperation are not considering the facts and are not good decisions. Your decision to grant or deny this appeal or any appeal should only be on the required criteria. It may appear that variances or appeals can be determined differently because the variances may be on different subjects. The fact is, a variance or appeal must be evaluated on the same criteria, whether it's a setback on a carport or this issue that we're talking about today. Both are still a variance to the requirements of the zoning code. Okay? You may be tempted to ignore the requirements and grant the appeal this one time and convince yourself that it won't be a precedent. Do you want to gamble on the fact that no one in the future will ask for a similar variance? If you take that gamble and someone requests a similar variance, what would be your basis for your decision? Okay. Are you willing to face legal action if you don't grant variances consistently? One other issue I've got, and I'll close, and I find this disturbing. In the first paragraph on the letter that COMAC sent it for their appeal, and I won't read all the legal description, but it states they are the owner of the land. Okay? I have been to the Eddy County clerk's office. I've been online, and in fact, the ABM shows Ives is still the owner. Okay. Now, that, even though there's some legal description stuff, it's all the same land that we're talking about. It's different when you look at the planning and zoning application. Now, the claim for the that Comac is the owner could have been for an oversight. Or the claim that Comac owns the land could be an attempt to entice your sympathy from the council and emphasize the need for the variance. As the governing body for City of Carlsbad, you must set the example for all other departments. If the P&Z decision is overturned after going through the process required by the zoning ordinance, you will be sending the message to other branches of the city administration that it doesn't matter about the requirements or the regulations or the evidence or the process worked as it was intended. The message will be, do whatever it takes to provide more housing for Carlsbad. We are here because of the regulations and those that you and those before you have put in place to properly, orderly, and have fair processes to the members of this community. In order to maintain the integrity of the processes, and specifically in this issue of the Carlsbad Zoning Ordinance, I request that you uphold the decision of the P&Z Commission and deny the appeal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bostic.
Where do I put these on the record at, these notes? Who do I give them to?
Lady right back there by the computer.
Yeah. Anyone else against the development?
Two minutes.
Yeah.
Thanks. I start it when they talk.
Thank you. And will you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Rochelle Thompson, and thank you for calling this meeting and allowing us to speak. The first page on what I handed out are the minutes from the P&Z meeting, I believe it was last November, when the property was originally annexed. Mr. Langham, Mr. Boren, and Mr. Ives came forward to present their request. Mrs. Blay added or talked about in the meeting that the Ives had been here for 100 years and wanted to build custom homes on 1/3, 1/2, and 1/4 acre lots. All the property is intended to be zoned residential. There are several people in this room that are good friends with the Ives family. They have been here for a long time. Travis Ives is actually 88 years old. And there were many meetings held with the county residents because that entire land was county and is surrounded by county with the exception of a small area. So there were several meetings with the residents to make sure that, because it's going to be low, the original 1 acre lot size in the county, that the people around were going to be happy with what was happening. So therefore it was determined to zone it R1, single, moderate density, single family housing. Also during the meeting, Mr. Langham insisted that there would not be any manufactured homes in the subdivision, and Mr. Cornham said that the applicant had been very responsive to what the community and the residents need. So that in the city council meeting to approve it, there was not any opposition, because the third page, I believe, the lot, I know it wasn't ever actually adopted in, but that's what was sold to the county residents surrounding. It would be 51 homes on the 1/3, 1 acre, and 1/4 lots.
The 2-minute time limit is expired.
Okay, so based on that, I would ask you to please not overturn the judgment. Thank you.
Anyone else against the development? And will you state your name for the record, please?
I have been here a long time. I came here about the time you did in order to help dig the Pecos River. So we've been working at that for a long time. This community is my home, has been for nearly 60 years. I'm proud of it. I think this project looks really nice, and I don't object to the way they've done the project. That's fine. I object to you being told that we're putting this here because we can't get any place where there's utilities. Come on, Mr. Mayor. Most developers will go drag the utilities to wherever they want to build it. So that's not a reason to develop this. I built a very nice home right next to this. It's worth nearly $1 million. Maybe $1 million. I don't know. And I thought it was going to be a residential neighborhood, and I couldn't believe that anybody would come in there and do that. And previously, this area was going to be developed as homes. Behind me is a really nice subdivision. In front of me are nice subdivisions. That is a residential neighborhood. You're going to put 189 people out there and probably 300 vehicles, and you're going to have a disaster in traffic, and you're going to have a disaster in what it does to the community. I don't object to that project. I think it's a great project. It just needs to be someplace else. And I will say this. Mr. Waters got up here and said, we think it's a great thing. If we were going to put that next to Mr. Waters' house, he'd be opposed to it too. So let's don't think that this is just me saying this. There's a hell of a lot of people believing what I'm saying to you. I hope that you decide to turn this down and go back to what it is, a residential neighborhood. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else against the development?
Okay, Mayor and council members, my name is Dr. Hong Chiu, and I'm against the variance. And as I hand you my package before the meeting, I want to speak on point number one, number two, and number three. I feel that my time is allowed. Okay. First, the developer show you the new map coming from the comprehensive plan that showing how the city planning document is or will be, okay? And I want to talk about what is the relationship of the zoning code to the comprehensive plan, point number one. If you look at bullet point number one, section 56-4, it says, actually, if you want to refer to the code, it's on the page three, okay? So it says the code shall prevail and govern on the basis of any alleged nonconformity with any planning documents, including comprehensive plan. So a comprehensive plan is a design, what you want. It's not a governing rule or a law, okay? Point number two, 56-7, interpretation and conflicts. When all structures shall comply with all applicable codes, laws, rules, regulations, and policies, where the provision of the code impose greater restrictions, and remember this sentence, if it imposes greater restrictions in other provision within the code, the provision of the greater restriction shall control. Okay? So that's very important. Section 56-8, no person may use any land or structure except in conformance with all, I emphasize all, of applicable provision of this code. Bullet number four, New Mexico's statute 1978, sections 3-21-1 through 3-21-14 reinforce all of the same principle. So,
the time limit has expired.
Okay. Do you want me to?
We'll give you 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
Two extra.
Okay. And again, coming back to the map that the developer is showing you, the high density development in all this apartment complex and mobile home and all that. We check the zoning. All of those apartments are under R2 zoning, and none are in R1 zoning. Point number two is the fourth unit structure as defined in the zoning code as the multiple family dividing unit allowed in the developer's land within R1 district. And in the A and B you have there, and they talk about their development is the multiple family dividing. Point number one, section 5631 definition. The definition of the dwelling unit, multiple family versus dwelling unit, single family attached. Multiple family means more than one family, and single family attached is only two, no more than two, okay? And if you look at the use table, under page four, and under R1, under multiple family development or dwelling. It's blank. Do you know what blank means? Blank means prohibit use, meaning not allowed. And although they stated in their AMB saying they are allowed in any of the zoning, that's incorrect statement. So just keep that in mind as Leroy and other person object to this project. They are currently under R1 zoning. What their development currently proposed to you is not allowed. Not only in these cases, under variance they are requesting, there are many, many other conflicts that does not allow them to develop a multi-family dwelling or the townhouse they want. And it's just not allowed under the current code, also not allowed under the state zoning law. So I thank you for your consideration.
Yeah, thank you. You state your name for the record, please.
My name's Alan Wood, and about a year ago, in July, actually, of 2018, I got a letter that this property was going to be annexed into the city. It was annexed in as R1. R1, as has already been mentioned several times today, is a minimum of 6,000 square feet. My neighbors, my wife, my family, in fact, all of my I haven't ran across a neighbor that's not in favor of that type of development, just to clarify that. I know that conversation has come up at times that maybe we're not in favor of homes. I just want to assure each one of you as councilman, councilwoman, mayor, that we are in support of homes. I am in support of homes. I'm in support of homes that fit the R1 minimum square feet. I'd like to give just an example during the rest of my 45 seconds of what it would mean on just one of those variances. One of the variances is moving from 6,000 square feet down to 1,987 square feet or 67 square feet, something like that, which would be smaller than some homes. The frontage on that, on the center of those,
these are 24 by 24 squares right here. So right here by Councilman Carter over to Councilman Chavez, if you count 10 of these squares right here, the property line is actually a little bit less than that on the center homes on those properties. They're 19.87, something like that. So if you have a driveway right here, maybe 10 feet, 11 feet, that only gives you another 10 feet over here to park a car on the street. With the exception of a Mini Cooper, I doubt a vehicle would fit on this until you go into the other property line. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Anyone else against the development? You state your name for the record, please.
Amanda Mashaw. Just as Stephen McCutcheon, I live very near the subject property that we are discussing tonight. But first and foremost, I'd like to thank you for your service and your commitment to our community. We all have numerous difficult decisions to make, unlike any other times that we've ever seen in our community before, and I appreciate your efforts. I'd like to talk as quickly as possible in our two-minute timing. Share some information about my years of real estate experience in title industry and my firsthand experience with sales in an extremely slowly progressing La Herta Townhome subdivision that's located at Cherry Lane and Callaway Drive, just across from Cobblestone and Pecos Vista complexes, apartment complexes. The developer's plan there was to build 16 townhomes in that subdivision. They completed one building, which consisted of 4, 2, and 3-bedroom townhomes. After completion of that first and only building, I was fortunate enough to sell the only townhome after they have sat on the market for over a year. It should be understood that the other three units in that townhome are rentals, and they are to oil field employees. I just gave you all some pictures of parking situations that have been problematic in the existing La Herta townhomes and some comparison notes that show you the differences between the proposed development and the existing townhome development. Regarding the differences between the two developments, and most noteworthy are the existing 4 townhomes each have 2-car garages and 2-car driveways. And the 4 townhomes there have 15 overflow parking spaces. As you can see in those photos, renters aren't parking in the overflow parking. They park on the sidewalks, they park on the streets, and they park on property that they don't own. Other noteworthy in the La Herta townhome development in comparison to the development that's being proposed tonight, the smallest lot in that subdivision is 3,484 square feet, 42 feet wide, in comparison to their requested 1,967 square feet being 19.
The 2-minute time frame has expired.
Mr. Mayor, would I be allowed 2 additional minutes?
You need one more 2 minutes.
Thank you, sir. Right. I appreciate it. Other noteworthy things, noteworthy items in this proposed development, none of the units in this development have a bedroom on the ground floor. All bedrooms of this development are on the second story. That would be problematic and a negative impact on the resale value of townhomes. I fully understand development and real estate, and I'm confident that you all do as well. And I fully understand the need for housing in our community. We have expressed our support in housing in an R1 zoning for this location. And Mr. Mayor, council members, please make sure that you have no regrets in our future regarding this type of development in this specific location. I thank you again, and I urge you to uphold your Planning and Zoning Commission's decision and denial of the applicant's appeal, and in turn, upholding your duty as City Council members to protect our community by adhering to the guidelines of the city's variance and subdivision ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else against the development?
My name is Ken Dugan, and I'm an attorney in town who's representing several clients who oppose this. The good news for each of you council members who actually follow the law is this is illegal. I've given you the case that says that. It's attached to this, which is the downtown versus city case on page 29. There is a statute that gave you authority to enact zoning ordinances. That statute is attached. That is also attached as page 27. The statute set 2 conditions, and I've highlighted them in this one-page sheet. There has to be a special condition, and there has to be an unnecessary hardship. Those are bold print. Our ordinance then defined those. It had to define them, a special condition. We put special conditions is in the ordinance in section 4. It must be topography, site location, or access. You have to find specifically one of those 3 items. Number 2, unnecessary hardship. There are 3 criteria, unique to the applicant, relates to the applicant's land, and number 3, not the result of the applicant's own actions. You must find all 3 under the ordinance. I've copied the ordinance. I've highlighted it for you. Number 3, that no one's mentioned. It must be the minimum variance necessary to make possible the reasonable use of the land. You've already seen there was a proposed plot before, a plat. that was much larger. When they got it zoned R1, it was much larger. Now all of a sudden they require it to be narrow and they haven't given it to you. Why do I say it's illegal for you to grant it? Look at page 3. Numbers at the top right corner. Their justification to the P&Z committee. What was it? It's blank. They literally gave no justification for hardship or for a special condition. Zero. They provided you no evidence. Now, this happened before the New Mexico Court of Appeals. I've attached it in page 27, where somebody came before a committee and tried to get a variance. In 1989, a New Mexico Court of Appeals ruled it was illegal and arbitrary and capricious of the city council to reverse the decision maker on this very same thing because they didn't consider the special condition and they did not consider the unnecessary hardship. There is only one outcome to this. The variance will be denied. The question is the city council members going to adhere to the law and to their ordinance? Or do we have to go to the district court and have it reversed because the people here are not willing to comply with the law? Do any of us teach our kids that the ends justify the means? Do any of us believe the ends justify the means? That's all you've heard. The city came to us and told us we've got to do it. If not here, then where? The ends do not justify the means. These city council members, I am confident, will comply with the law. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Mr. Mayor, city councilmen and women, and the people of Carlsbad, my name is Tricia Bannister, and I am against this. As it's been said before, there is a need for housing in Carlsbad. We all know that. Over and over again, we've been told that. Again, we're not against housing being built on this land, but it needs to follow the guidelines of the R-Run residential. It's a very desirable piece of land, and it's located in a prime spot. It's in the city limits, and it's zoned R1 residential. The R1 zoning is in place to protect the area and to conform to the surrounding properties. As a past residential real estate appraiser, it is my opinion that this type of structure does not conform to the area and will, in fact, decrease the value of the surrounding property. We moved to the La Jolla area, paying the higher price for the land and the location to have a little elbow room and place for our children to play and to have a feel of the country. At the November planning and zoning meeting, our group presented petitions against this. Tonight, I brought more petitions. We have over 260 signatures from the city and the county, from the Carlsbad people that are against this. I also have two letters from people who can't be here tonight, but because of my 2 minutes, I won't read them. But I will tell you they are from Jim and Judy Lenarden and from Rita and Mary Alice London. Both are against this. Hang on, I can't turn my page, sorry. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to listen to all of these people, whether it's in their signatures, their letters, their phone calls to you, the faces of all these people who are here tonight. I urge you to listen to the facts, remember the rules and regulations and laws, remember how your planning and zoning committee voted, and then with a clear understanding of all of this, I urge you to cast your vote against this. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Where do I put the petitions? Who do I give the petitions to?
Do you want me to go to the clerk?
Okay.
Yeah, to the clerk would be good. Anyone else against the development?
Oh, I can't help myself.
There's not much. My name is Don George. Sorry. There's not much more that I can say in opposition to this. But I can say a couple things. Mayor, I hope I'm not misquoting you. One time you mentioned that the line between the county and the city is imaginary and that we must develop together. This isn't together. A wise city councilor also told me that it would be foolish to go against one of their boards or commission. Otherwise, it would undermine their authority. Well, we're here today for that very purpose. Not once, but twice, the P&Z voted this down. You've heard all the rules, all the regulations. The bottom line is, the group that you guys asked to do the heavy lifting voted against it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else against the development? Against the development. If not, I would ask the our attorney to explain the rules for the vote.
As has been already discussed, to overturn the denial, the decision by planning and zoning, it would take a vote of at least 6 council members in favor of overturning the denial. Anything less than that would fail to grant the appeal, would fail to change the decision of planning and zoning.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to uphold the denial based on the recommendations of planning and zoning.
We have a motion.
I'll second it, Mayor.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez.
No.
Mr. Shirley.
No.
Ms. Waters.
No.
Mr. Walterscheid.
No.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
That's a 4-4.
It's 4-4.
So.
4-4.
It is a 4-4 vote.
And the vote is to?
To uphold the denial. So a vote in favor is a vote to uphold the denial. To not grant the permit. A vote no is just the other side of that.
And the motion was made by
J.J. Chavez.
Let me see. I'll vote no. So
that motion has died, as it was a 5-4 no. That does not grant the appeal. That's just denying that motion to uphold the decision of planning and zoning.
That moves us to number 3, consider approval of appeal of the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny approval of a request for a variance to reduce the minimum required front setback from 30 foot to 20 foot and reduce the required side setback from 5 foot to 0 for the La Jirta Townhomes development located at the southeast corner of the intersection of East Cherry Lane and North Canal Street, zoned R1, Residential 1, District Appellant, Comac, LLC. And I would ask that we have a spokesman for the appeal, Mr. McCutcheon.
Mr. Mayor, how much time do we have?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. Just a few and just a few rebuttals that I have here, and I'll keep it under the 10 minutes. Leroy Bostic, Dr. Juan, I believe, Alan Wood, Amanda Mashaw, Ken Dugan, Trish Bannister, and Don George. Every one of them is a county resident and does not reside in the city of Carlsbad. It's been stated that it is not in line with the master plan. It's the map I've presented. It says it is in line with the master plan. The average lot size, yes, the variance is 1967, because that is the smallest lot size. However, the average lot size is 2843, and there's a lot of lots that are at 4,000, even a couple at 7,000. when we say the city, sometimes that means it could be any one of you. And the reason why that we went in with the R1 zoning is because the city, and it was Jeff Patterson. We visited with Jeff. We said, hey, what do we need to do to have this here? And in a meeting with Jeff years ago, Jeff says, man, you know, townhomes would be great. He says it would help out. So I'm not saying that there are exact city people saying that this is the development we need to do and that they're in support of that. I need to clarify that. But what I am saying is that has been seen, that townhomes have been seen as a way for, as a way to solve some of the problems that we have and a lot with the teachers. We went in with the recommendation that R1 zoning would fit this development because currently now there are no zoning laws in the city that permit or that allow for this type of development. But yet we go to Lubbock and we go to Albuquerque and we go to any other town that's growing of any size, and these are very, very common. Are there any questions for me?
Questions for Mr. McCutcheon? Thank you, Mr. McCutcheon.
Thank you.
Mr. Corman.
Trent Corman again. Thanks, guys. Like we said, we appreciate everyone's time and consideration in this matter. Townhomes are not a popular item in Carlsbad because there's hardly any. And just like Stephen McCutcheon, he said, you go anywhere else, this is a very common type of construction that solves a necessary problem. And so in regards to variances, obviously we need those variances in order for this to happen. I think tonight we're going to send a clear message to any developer, any future restaurant owner, any housing authority that wants to come to Carlsbad, how we look at development in Carlsbad. And I do appreciate your time in this matter. One thing that was concerned that brought up in the last PNZ meeting is Mr. Bostich, he actually made a comment to Stephen on record about our mobile homes permitted in this. We all know that mobile homes are actually permitted in this. To be fair and transparent, we were told. In fact, Amanda Mashaw gave a business card to a developer that wants to put 90 manufactured mobile homes here that is offered to purchase this land from Stephen and I to do exactly this. That falls under R1 zoning. He made the comment that he felt that if Stephen was threatening, this isn't a threat. I gave the card to Amanda and I said, do your due diligence, call him up, see what the alternatives are for this land. Me and Stephen did not and do not want to put manufactured homes there. But at the same time, I'm not going to have my kids go without Christmas over this land either. So with that being said, we are asking for that variance. It's not a threat. I could give anyone the card. They could go in and put 90 manufactured homes in here with, and my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, you could ask Jeff Patterson, we don't need a variance. We don't need a rule to do that. And so that is information. It is not a threat whatsoever. I just want everyone to know we put restrictive covenants in places on these townhomes so we could regulate parking. We meet all city spec for parking. When we met with Jeff, we asked about parking. Does it or does it not meet city spec? Yes, it does. They said, I think it'll go a long ways if you put extra parking in this. So we did. We put extra parking in this. Stephen and I took it upon ourselves that this project goes through, we'll put restrictive covenants in so we can control parking, landscaping, all those sort of things. So with that being said, guys, I would like you to consider approving the variances still, because as Carlsbad is growing, I hope we grow in the right direction. And like I said, if there's any questions, I'm here to answer them. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Question from the council. Yes, sir.
Do you own the property?
It is under contract. I do not own it outright. No, I do not.
Mayor, I have a question as well.
Questions?
I believe Mr. McCutcheon said, the last time he spoke, they're the same requirements as Riverbend subdivision. Is that correct?
Stephen made mention of that. There are shared walls within Riverbend, yes.
Why not build that? Or the same as that? I mean, those are nice. Those are homes.
Absolutely. What square footage are those?
I have no idea.
Okay. We're requesting, these are 3-bedroom and 2-bathroom homes. Okay. When I first got married, I moved into a duplex. My brother and his wife and three kids live in a townhome right now. I've lived in townhomes with restrictive covenants with an HOA set up of roughly $40 a month. So I'm going to take your advice. If you approve this, we're going to build something very similar to that. They have a shared wall, and that's exactly a type of townhome. The benefit is they won't be renting, because we have plenty of hotels. We have plenty of apartments right now, and we're building more. But you just heard all the statistics from school teachers, from police, from fire and rescue, how creative they're having to get. Here's an option. Here's an option that we can get creative with them. I wouldn't mind guaranteeing a certain number of sales to exactly the people that we're talking about. Give them first option. I'm not exactly sure how that works, but me and Steven were committed to fill a need that the city, when I say the city, personnel within the city, said, hey, we know you're a builder. We know you've developed some land. Have you ever thought of this? Have you considered this? Yes, we have. We've thought of it. We've considered it. We've put money and time invested in it, and that's where we are right now. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions from the council?
Councilman? Yes, why not rezone the entire property to R2 instead of asking for all the variances?
So when we first met with Jeff Patterson, we asked, I want to build some townhomes. That was my exact words, okay? I also want to build some townhomes. What do we need to do for zoning? He says it fits within R1 zoning. Perfect. Okay, it fits within R1 zoning. So we asked him, what do we need to do in order to approve this? He said there's those three variances, the variances that we've questioned here tonight. He said those are the variances you would need approved. So being a builder and part of other townhome subdivisions in Colorado, in New Mexico, in different places, these are normal acted upon variances in order to do this type of construction. So in reference to why didn't we do a zone change, we were told it was acceptable.
Further questions? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else for the development?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is John Waters, Executive Director for the Carlsbad Department of Development. I'll be quick. Use my 2 minutes for my businesses. To start with, I was called out, so I might as well just answer it. If I ever bought a piece of property next to a county piece of property, and God knows what it's like to live in a $1.3 or $5 million home. God, I wish I rolled like that. I'm a public servant. I don't live like that. My house was built in the early 60s. I would expect that something would happen to that property next to me. And yeah, if something came in and it was really nice, especially if I could move my daughter out into something nice like that, I'd be for it. I mean, this is a nice subdivision. I grew up in Carlsbad, grew up in Sunnyview. I've lived in mobile homes before, double wides, single wides. You know what? We're for housing. We're not picking and choosing types of housing here. So whatever comes in that brings in housing so people can bring their families here, we're supportive of it. Whatever form that takes, double wides if they bring in these nice townhomes, I mean, they're going to fill a need that we all need. I seem to think the townhomes look nicer than that. They're permanent and they're for sale. And mobile homes, even though I've lived in them, they get older quicker. You know, they fall apart quicker. They're not always made as well as the custom-built homes. So we are in favor of this. We think this is going to be good for the community, but we're in favor of all housing that brings, workforce, entry level, and people like the older folks that don't want to take care of big yards. By the way, you drive out in Mountain Shadow, guess what you see out there? There's a lot of them. They've been there for a long time. It's a nice subdivision. It's right next to the country club. We've got these things around town. It's been pointed out. Same size or not, if not smaller. It's a nice neighborhood, and if you go to other towns, yes, this is a common construction. People even ask us, don't you guys have any townhomes? Don't you have anything like that? We have these people come in every day asking for anything so that they can live in. It is a need. So if not here, where? And I'm going to add one more thing. If not now, when? When? When are we going to do this? We've talked about this now for 15 years. When? The I don't care answer that keeps basically getting echoed by people saying, hey, this is great. I'd support it if it weren't in my backyard. Wow. That's a message we're sending to the rest of the industry and the rest of the state. I don't want that to be that. I'm proud of this town. I grew up here. I want to say we want you here. We want our kids back here. You know, if not there, where? And if not, you know, if not now, when? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for the development?
Hello, I'm Jason Crockett here. Born and raised here in Carlsbad, one of the things I hear the most about people that move into Carlsbad, as well as the ones that have lived here forever, is we need more. We need more. We can't have more if we don't have homes that people can afford. We can't have more if we don't have people moving to Carlsbad to work on these hotel, restaurant, store level. We have a lot of high-paid people here. We have a lot of very nice homes here, and there are a lot of nice homes around this development. But I also believe that this development is going to add value to a lot of things because it is such a nice development. They are smaller. They look smaller, but it's well thought of. They've asked lots of questions to the zoning and planning, and they've been given positive result or, you know, answer to those. And it's just hard to believe that Carlsbad and the good old boys are still going to hold this town back. There's no such thing as good old boys anymore. We are a different community. We're moving forward, and we need the city council to help us move forward. And I agree with the statement he mentioned a while ago. This is going to set a precedence for all developers, all restaurant owners, everyone else that wants to come to Carlsbad to show that this is not a business-friendly community. We know we are. Let's show that we are. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else for the development? For the development. If not, do we have anyone that would speak against the development?
My name is Rochelle Thompson. I would like to, first of all, disagree. I think the precedents that would be set if you approved the appeal is that to any developer out there who has followed the rules, that they can now just do what they please. How do you deny the next developer precedent? This type of high density multifamily housing clearly does not fit the definition of R1 housing. One question I had, that we read the 2030 comprehensive plan. We saw a draft of the 2040 comprehensive plan. Is that still in draft form or has it been adopted? Okay, well, I don't understand how on that this lot is shown to be high density housing when it is currently zoned R1. Something else, I also have a child who graduated college 3 years ago, is still living with me. I showed him the 4-page proposed plat that I handed out without even saying a word. He didn't know what was going on and asked him, would you buy one of these? And he looked at it, and he's an engineer, very smart child. He looked at it and said, buy one? You know, how much? I told him, and he said, no, rent one maybe. These buildings will be sold to companies and individuals. I truly believe that if they had to be sold to individuals only, they would not take the risk in doing this. So therefore, I mean, it does not fit the definition of R1 housing. So for that, I ask you to please not overturn the appeal. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else against the development?
Okay, I'm a little confused. Are we talking about the variance for the setback on item 3? Okay, all right. I won't go over my same arguments that I did before. That would take up too much time, but there are just a few points I want to make. One, I want to address Mr. McCutcheon's comment on the county. I do live in the county, okay? But I thought this was a public meeting. Am I not a member of the public? I can't stand up here and voice my concerns because I'm in the county? I think that's wrong. I think there should be, that we're all in this together, okay? But we all have the right to stand up here and voice our concerns, okay? Another thing, you got to remember, the same criteria applies to this variance. You got the same four determinations you guys got to look at, okay? And again, there's no evidence. There's nothing there. And again, nobody has asked for any evidence. None. None to support the criteria required for either the P&Z or the determinations you guys got to make. Nobody made it. Again,
The decision sets the examples for others to follow. Okay, we're looking at that. The integrity of the city and its regulations, you can't compromise those. Okay, you're going to lose control. It's going to be a free-for-all. Okay, you say you can't even control the codes you have in place now. Let's just open them up and let people do what they want to do and then see what you can enforce. And I request that you uphold the P&Z and not grant the appeal.
Anyone else against the development?
So if you look at page 20 of the packet that I gave you, it's the ordinance. And you'll see that's the variance ordinance for K. I've highlighted for you the two requirements. But if you look at B on page 20, it says where owing to a special condition, and I've underlined it, in the topography, site location, or access. Stop there. The special condition has to be either the topography, the site location, or the access, or you can't grant it. And a little enforcement of the zoning ordinance will result in unnecessary hardship. Those languages, unnecessary hardship, come from page 27. If you don't believe me, just look at the statute. Part B of the statute, you had to have a special condition, and you had to have an unnecessary hardship. Hardship is then defined below in number 4. And look at it. It's entitled Findings Required. The P&Z committee had to make 8 findings to uphold this. They denied it. You would have to make those same 8 findings. You have to find one that the stated hardship is one that is unique to the applicant. Has he convinced you that these setbacks are unique to him? Of course not. Number 2, the hardship relates to the applicant's land. Has he shown you anything about the land that requires a setback that's special from everybody else? Of course not. Number 3, the hardship is not the result of the applicant's own action. Now, wait a minute. They had a plat before that was much larger sites, and now because they want to make them smaller in their own actions, they think they need a special setback. Have any of you all looked at this plat? Where are you going to park? They show the cars behind the garages going out into their little street. There's literally a parking area on the plat that's as small as one of these sites. This is the most impractical plan I've ever seen in my life, but we don't have to decide that. You don't get to decide whether you think it's right or proper if they haven't given you the evidence. And page 3 was blank. They gave you no evidence to support them. They have the burden of proof. Now, on page 27, I've given you the Court of Appeals decision on this identical scenario where the builder couldn't prove a special condition and they couldn't prove an unnecessary hardship, and the Court of Appeals reversed the city council. The original decision maker denied it. It's this same situation. The city council then reversed. And the district court and the Court of Appeals said it was illegal, capricious, and arbitrary for the city council to ignore the ordinance and ignore the law. You can ask Eileen. This is the law in New Mexico. What are we going to tell our children? We're just going to make it up? I don't know about you guys, but I'm a much better driver now that I have a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old in my car watching how daddy drives. This city is watching what you guys do. Are we just going to make it up and ignore the law and ignore our ordinances because somebody happens to know somebody in this town? The rules and ordinances, they've got to mean something, guys. 4-4 isn't enough. The 4 of you who voted for it, I want to know why you think it's okay to ignore our ordinances and ignore our statutes. Mr. Carter provided an alternative. Just get it rezoned. Build a little bit bigger lots. There's lots of choices to comply with the law. We don't just get to make it up because we want to. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Scott Bazzioni, and part of the reason why I got up was because they made a point about the people in the county are the ones doing all the talking here. I know that some of these people live right across the street from this property. I actually live in the city. I live on Going Home, which is one block north on Canal Street. I live the traffic every day trying to go to work, coming home. You know, between the schools, people going to work, and the train, the traffic is terrible there. Everybody knows that. It's an inconvenience. If you add to the traffic, it goes from an inconvenience to a hazard. I've invested in this town. I moved here 15 years ago. I moved myself and my business here. I retired after 31 years and had to go get a real job. But I love this town. I love that area. I want to see what they projected on R1, regular housing to go in, like the cul-de-sac that I live on, which is a very nice place. I don't want to see trailers. I don't want to see the townhouses come in. For one of the reasons is the property values. I do believe that they would go down. The other reason is I believe when you bring in this many people, you're going to have more traffic, and our infrastructure right now, which we all know and no one can deny, needs upgrading. You know, the town is growing. We need to change our infrastructure and get ahead of the town growing instead of letting the town grow around us and not have the ability to fix our infrastructure later. Thank you.
I'm Robin Bostic, and I want to address a few of the things that have been mentioned already about the setbacks. One, I drive a mid-sized SUV. It won't fit in the garage. If you put it in there, you can't open my doors. You can't open the door to get into the garage, nor can you close the garage door. So I pull out, and I park in the driveway. I'm across the sidewalk. Then my friends pull up, and they can't park in front of my house because they'll block me because it's only 20 feet wide. So it was mentioned before, unless you drive a Mini Cooper or a Geo or a Prism, there's not going to be a pickup, a Suburban, an SUV of any sort that you can park more than one of. And then your garage will be open so you're not hanging off over the sidewalk. Another thing I want to clarify, the comment was made that the payment on this was going to be $947, give or take. That is principal and interest only. You add taxes, insurance, and private mortgage insurance on top of that, it's going to be between probably somewhere between $1,300 and $1,500 a month. That does not make it affordable for your service folks that are here. Some of your beginning teachers are going to have their student loans, maybe a car payment. It's going to be really tough. So you go back to, okay, who else would this fit? Well, do you really want to put a family with two or three children in a 1,251 square foot apartment or home? There's nowhere to play. The backyards are 10 feet deep because that's all of the setback there has room for. And that's if they have a 20-foot setback. If they do 25 in the front so the vehicles fit, then they have a 5-foot backyard. There is no park. There is nowhere for the children to go. To address one more thing, it's mentioned that these are in Lubbock, they're in Albuquerque, those are both college towns. You have young people that can run up and down those stairs. A number of you, and I'm not going to point anyone out, is over 50, probably doesn't really get real thrilled about having to go up and down the stairs every night to go to bed, or to get up in the morning and try to get down to your coffee with everything stiff and not moving. Comparing it to Mountain Shadow, Desert Willow, Trevino, all of that over and through there, there is a handful of two-story. Everything else is a single story. Your baby boomers coming out of the larger houses coming from other towns want a single-story house. They want something that even has the wider door frames so you can get a walker or a wheelchair in there. We're all facing it. Let's be real. So thank you, and we would like for you to uphold what the P&Z did and vote no, or yes, to not change the variance. Thank you. It's real confusing.
Anyone else?
My name's Nan Clayton, and I just wanted to let you know that my husband and I bought a townhouse in Lubbock, and it was going to be our like vacation home to go to instead of like to the mountains. And I just wanted to let you know what has happened. A friend of ours had bought one, and so we thought this would be a good place to be. And within 1 year's time, the townhomes that where we purchased our home, in 1 year's time, it's turned to all rentals. What has happened is people have gone in, people that had a lot of money would go in, and they're buying up everyone that comes for sale, and they're renting them. And so the neighborhood is going down, down, down. And as far as residence restrictions go, we've had restrictions, but there's no one that's going to enforce them. That's just my personal, what's happened to us personally. And I think y'all need to realize that. That yes, Lubbock and some of the bigger towns do have townhomes, but they go eventually wind up being rentals that are not well taken care of because somebody that doesn't even live in Lubbock owns the rentals. And they've got a property manager that does or does not take good care of them. Ours was very, very nice. They're brick, three-bedroom, two-bathroom homes, 1530 square feet. Even AstroTurf in the front yard, a backyard with grass with a sprinkler system. But you take a drive down now, and the AstroTurf is full of weeds because they've not been taken care of. The backyard, the sprinklers are broken, some of them. Also in front of one of ours, the police had to come twice because to enforce the restriction of cars not parked in front. There was like three people that had three work trucks that was living in a rental, and they were parking along the front so people couldn't even come to visit someone that was in one. That's what you're going to be looking at. It'll be nice for a year or two, maybe three. But then when everybody's bought them up and using them as rent property, then you're going to be having issues. It's going to be an eyesore in the sight of a nice neighborhood.
Thank you. Anyone else against the development?
Yes, my name is Don George. Heard from me before, two-time past president of the CDOD. Had Mr. Waters come up. Speaking for the CDOD, I'm not, anyway, we won't go there. About 95% of the petitioners are city of Carlsbad residents. 100% of them are Eddy County residents. So there's a lot of talk about Eddy County residents being involved. Well, your own ordinance required that these residents be given a voice. Normally they'd go to their elected officials. That happens to be our applicant. So they must take it on for themselves. For 30 years, I dealt with the nuclear industry. We have one rule. Stick to the facts and get the emotions out of the way. If not, you end up doing really bad things. The facts were laid out beautifully for you. There is no reason that this should be have ever made it to the P&Z, let alone, thankfully, they turned it down twice. And now it's here before you. You only have one option. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello. My name's Helen Cho. I thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm against the townhome development for a number of reasons, most important being that the developers failed to abide by the criteria of the zoning code. And specifically, I would like to address the requested variance to reduce side setbacks from 5 feet to 0 feet. Perhaps you will remember a similar variance request appealed before you on November 12th by Mr. Stacy Slade for an open carport. The City Planning Department staff recommended to uphold the Planning and Zoning Commission's decision to deny the variance request and therefore deny his appeal. Let me remind you that you voted to deny his appeal unanimously, 8 votes to 0 votes. This is a stark contrast to today's agenda item, which also requests a variance to reduce side setbacks from 5 feet to 0 feet. And yet, to my surprise, the City Planning staff recommends, and I quote, that the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny the approval of the variance request be overturned and the appeal approved. If you blindly approve this appeal, how do you explain the apparent conflict between the variance requests of the same nature? If ordinary citizens like us must follow the rules, then so should the developer. And the City Council should enforce the rules equally. Do you strictly enforce codes for an ordinary citizen, then turn around and disregard the rules for a developer? The rules apply to us, and they apply to you, and they apply to everyone. As members of the City Council, you are leaders in our community. And I ask that you lead by example act with integrity, and uphold the zoning code to treat everyone equally.
Anyone else?
I'm Wanda Welch, and I just wanted on the record, I live in the city. I am against this development for three reasons. Number one is the traffic that it's going to create in that neighborhood. Try sitting at the four-way stop at Canal and Cherry now. The second is I sympathize, and I am a realtor, and I sympathize because we do need housing for the teachers and that kind of thing. But what about the kids? Desert Willow School is already overcrowded. The traffic getting in to that school to take your kids to school is a nightmare. And number three, I'm concerned about the utilities, the continuation of the water pressure, the continuation of this. If we had a commitment from the city that they're going to upgrade this, I remember when Spring Hollow was built and the fiasco with the water pressure. Are we prepared to do the same thing for this development to make those utilities functional? I am in the city, but I am opposed to the development for those reasons.
Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Hong Chiu, again, I want to speak on question number three. I would urge you to deny the variance request. Bullet number three. Everyone, and including the developer, shall follow all of the existing R1 zoning rule under the current zoning code, or it may pursue a zoning change, as the gentleman here suggested, and they are not doing that at all. Instead, they are requesting variance to do a backdoor play. And city and council could also consider amendments to support the amendment to the code in order to support the comprehensive plan for the future, of course, within the bounds of the NMSA 1978, so that everyone can be treated equally instead of the backdoor play just for the very few. And at this time, I want to address Ms. McConchin's question on when he come up here to speak to the city council, including mayors, and he's saying the county residents' voice doesn't count. My understanding is he himself is the county resident. And how can he stand here and tell you the resident, county resident's voice doesn't count, and instead you have to listen to him? And that's just beyond logic, okay? And again, I want to address Councilman Chavez's question regarding Riverbend. And Riverbend itself, if you look at the page 4 under the use table, okay? Let's look at the multiple family dwelling. Again, I have established that it's not allowed under the R1 zoning, but it's allowed under R2, C1, C2, and PUD. And just for your question, if you are not familiar with PUD, PUD means under section 56-40, item G, plan unit development, so-called PUD district, okay? And it says the district is not intended to reduce design and quality standard below those required by this code and other regulation of the city. They still need to follow the zoning code here. And do they, yeah, I'm sure city has a process for how to go through the PUD process. Are they going through that route? No. They are in R1 zoning and they want to use the backdoor play. As my daughter just communicate to you the stark contrast of the case that you consider on November 12th, and you all voted unanimously to deny their request. It's exactly the same code, the same law, and yet we are here trying to consider his request. Again, I urge you to deny the request of the variance. Thank you.
Anyone else against the development?
Amanda Mashaw. What I didn't get to earlier when we were talking about the parking and 189 townhomes with a single car garage and a single car driveway, if I understand correctly from the developer's plan, there's 12 to 15 overflow parking spaces. Is that correct? So there's 28 now? Okay. So what is there now?
28.
For 189 townhomes. I showed you guys pictures of problematic parking in townhome subdivisions, and that's my concern for this type of development. I support residential growth in our community. It's very well needed, but responsible development is needed in our community. I wasn't going to touch on the fact that we're county residents or city residents, but it was brought up for you all this evening. I do reside in the county, and I conduct my business in the city of Carlsbad. We've been asked numerous times by planning and zoning committees, the city staff, city council members that are here tonight, do you live in the city or do you live in the county? If you fell within that 100-mile radius to have a certified letter mailed to you, those are residents that resided in the county because the city was brought into the county when it was annexed last year. So we do have a right to come up and stand and speak our opinions on this development. Thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Anyone else against the development?
I'm Randy Heine, and I do live in the city. The we've heard the actually emotional argument about the good old boy network and all that kind of stuff. Would it be proper if I asked the crowd a question and a show of hands?
If what?
Would it be proper for me to ask the crowd for a show of hands?
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be great.
How many people were in favor of this under the original plat? How many against? Under the original plat. So the good old boy network doesn't stand up. If not, when? Now. Do it under the original one. And the setbacks are under the original plan.
Anyone else against the development? Against the development? Nope. You barely made it.
Tyler Ortega, I'm an insurance agent here in Carlsbad. I want to show support for both. I'm going to be honest. The message given was awesome. I mean, their stance and what I just have to say to Trent and you guys too, it's probably going to get held up in court, and this thing's not going to go very far. But I want what you guys are doing from the standpoint of development. You guys are doing a great thing. The houses you guys build, thank you for what you do. Leroy, thank you for guys what you guys do and abiding by the law. I think that's the testimony given there was spectacular. I'm a transplant. I've been here 6 years. I have a business. It was not easy to start my business. I inherited something that I took over for a family that has now left Carlsbad. I hate to see people leave this town. I love this town. My wife works in Artesia at the hospital, commutes 45 minutes every day. We've moved out into the county to have a easier access for her to work. We need to grow. We just need to do it the right way. Rent houses, maybe not something we necessarily need. Could these be rent houses? Absolutely. Will there be people, companies that come in and buy them and rent their employees? More than likely. I had a client that got displaced from a fire recently and estimated for a three-bedroom, two-bath house, what the rent would be for the cost of living adjustment for them would be about $3,500 a month to rent a similar home in town. That's astronomical. I also have helped out my employees in situations to where they needed places to live and they needed financial assistance because I can't pay what the oil field pays. We can't pay what the oil field pays. And we're the people needed in this community. I'm going to be honest. We need insurance agents. We need insurance companies. We need real estate developers. We need real estate agents. We need these people. but we're competing against a market that's very, very difficult. And so I encourage you guys to continue what you're doing. If this gets knocked down, if it's modular homes, if it's the cost of construction that's the holdup, let's find a way to get something there that's going to work, that's going to be something that you guys like too. At the same token, so my statement isn't for or against. I'm not following parliamentary procedure on this deal, but the bigger side of it is, I just want to say that we have to continue to grow. And I do sit on the board for the comprehensive plan. That's been the longest process I think I've ever been a part of. I'm going to be honest. Meetings are very spaced out, and communication is not always the easiest, and it's still a draft. It needs to be done. Some of this stuff just needs to be done. We need to see movement in areas. And so speaking as a business owner that wants to see progress, I want to see progress and growth, but at the same token, I still want to respect the people that have been here for years and that want to maintain the law. I mean, that's for me personally, that's what I took from this message that they brought. That's my stance. But thank you guys.
Thank you.
My name's Alan Wood. I just want to say one more time that I just like to ask each one of you all to follow the R1 rules. I feel like I follow the rules when I go to the cemetery. I follow the rules in my business. The state of New Mexico comes and does an inspection on me once a year. I follow those rules. I don't ask for a variance. I don't ask for any kind of exceptions to those rules. I have OSHA come to my place every several years. I don't ask for any kind of exception on that. I have the Federal Trade Commission that I have to follow guidelines on my pricing. I don't ask for any kind of variations on that. So I have a lot of different levels of government that I have to follow. Those rules are there for a reason. I think they're important. They're important to the community. I just ask that you follow the rules of R1. I ask that you not allow those variances. Thank you.
Anyone else against the ordinance? Against the ordinance? If not, I'll again ask Ms. Reardon to explain the voting rule.
The vote on this one would be similar to the vote on the last one, in the sense that to overturn planning and zoning's decision would require a vote of a minimum of 6 council members in favor of overturning it. Anything less than 6 in favor does not grant them the overturning.
Okay. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to uphold the denial based on the recommendations of planning and zoning.
We have a motion.
Second, right here. A second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez.
No.
Mr. Shirley.
No.
Ms. Waters.
No.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Is that 4-4?
No.
5-3.
5-3.
5-3.
So that it's denied.
So will you explain what the result of that is?
Okay, the vote to uphold the denial was 5 in favor to uphold the denial, 3 opposed to the upholding, so the denial is upheld.
So that will move us to number 4, consider approval of appeal of the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny approval for a preliminary plat for the La Herta Townhomes development located at the southeast corner of the intersection of East Cherry Lane and North Canal Street, zoned R1 Residential District, Appellate Comac LLC. And again, I would ask for a spokesman from Comac.
We can keep going rounds, and I won't talk if anybody else won't talk, and we can vote and get this thing over with if you guys want. And we've all said our piece, right?
There's no obligation for anybody to speak, so.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to uphold the denial on recommendations of planning and zoning.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez.
No.
Mr. Shirley.
No.
Ms. Waters.
No.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
So.
5-3 again.
Okay. It's denied.
Will you explain that?
This one only required because of a difference in the code procedures, this one only required a 5-vote to grant. In this case, it was 5 against granting the appellant's request, so the denial is upheld.
That moves us to number 5, and I'd call on Councilor Lisa Anaya Flores.
Mayor, I make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
We're adjourned.
I knew it would be.
Well, I'm surprised.
I'll give these an 89. Well, isn't it 3 a.m. too little?